All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. The message today is the Law of Use. I am Dr. Mary Craig. This is a live teleservice, December 5, 2021. And let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve, and we thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus' radical life of obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to the death on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus paid the penalty that we deserve. He paid the penalty and took the guilt and liability that we deserve, Lord, for our sins, transgressions, trespasses, and lawlessness, unrighteousness, and a big long list, treachery, treason, Lord, and everything else. And so, Lord, we thank you that Jesus, because of Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you that he died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of the Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, and we ask that the Holy Spirit would come as the Spirit of Truth to guide us into the truth of your word, Lord, that we will be prompted, motivated, and come to understand, open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, understand, and perceive, and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us, Lord, as we discuss the law of use. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit come as a spirit of wisdom. We ask for wisdom for our days. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Is responsibility something to be avoided? And if we have very little, should we seek increase? If we have very little responsibility, should we seek increase? What should we be doing in the kingdom of God until Jesus comes again? Today we're going to turn our attention to the law of use. And for this, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of the profitable and unprofitable servant. Some Bibles might call this parable of Jesus the parable of the talents, but it starts in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you may have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast away the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30 in the English Standard Version. Okay, ESV, whatever. The law of use is found in verse 29, and here it is. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. This is the law of use, commonly referred to as use it or lose it. We are to take what the master gives and put it to work, to use. We are to improve upon it. To everyone who has, more will be given. But if we fail to use that which God has given to us, even what we have will be taken away. The law works both ways. It works both ways as far as righteousness and unrighteousness. Follow this law of the kingdom of God, and we see an exponential curve to this. And this law works regarding everything from muscles and bodybuilding exercises, skills, talents, our minds, our spiritual life, emotional life, relationships, physical things, intellectual things, finances, all types of things. The law of use applies to all types of dealings. Each servant in the parable was given money. A talent was worth about 20 years' wages, some say. Who knows? Each servant was given money according to his ability, and that's the point. The talents represent opportunities to use our abilities. God assigns work and opportunity according to ability. We can note that the master in this story and this parable is showing wisdom as well as goodness. How so? If 5 talents had been given to a person with minimal ability, we would see that person destroyed by heaving responsibility and an undue expectation on that person. And on the other hand, if only 1 talent had been given to someone with great ability, that person would be disgraced and degraded. So here we see goodness and wisdom on the part of this master in the parable. Also, we see in this parable that it is our privilege to serve the Lord and multiply his goods. God is the owner of everything. We are only trustees. The 3 servants fall into 2 categories, the faithful and the unfaithful. So basically, we have the master, the faithful servant, and the unfaithful servant as our 3 parts of this parable. The faithful servants took what they had been given and put that to work for the Lord. But the unfaithful servant hid his talent in the earth or the ground, and instead of using the opportunities or whatever God had given to him, or in this case what the master had given to him, he buried the talent, and he did it purposely. So by doing nothing, he robbed his Lord of service and increase. The The two men who put their money to work each received the same reward or commendation. They both received the same comments from their master. It wasn't the portion, but the proportion that made the difference. They started as servants, but the Lord promoted them, and their master promoted them to become rulers, meaning more responsibility. The lesson is, the one who is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. These have worked and toiled, and now they entered into joy. Their faithfulness gave each of them a capacity for greater service and greater responsibility. Now, I don't know why the one servant didn't try to do something with his talent. It says he was afraid. Maybe he feared life and responsibility. Who knows? There was anxiety there. But anyway, he buried the talent to protect it. So there was no real risk in that, and he didn't put it into a place where it would collect interest. And he was called unprofitable. He was that wicked, lazy servant. He was not pleasing his master. It may seem that people with only one talent might think that their talent is not really very important. That is not the point. It's not what we have, but that we are stewards of the Lord. It's because we are appointed as stewards of the Lord that we should work for our master and try to bring increase. Now, I'm not talking here about working for salvation, because eternal life is something that you that is not earned or deserved. It's a free gift based on what Jesus Christ has done in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And so we can't earn, we don't earn eternal life. We don't earn salvation. We don't deserve salvation. Jesus died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so we're not talking about that. We are talking about laboring faithfully until the Lord comes. If we are faithful and profitable, we will receive our reward. And see, also, we work and we are to be faithful. The focus is on being faithful. Faithful is a shortened full of faith. And so we're going to do this, and whatever God calls us to do, we're talking about obedience. And if we are faithful and profitable, and we can pray for that profitability, knowing, though, that God brings the increase. God brings the increase. There is an exponential curve to this. In other words, if you drew this on a curve basis, on a graph, it would go along very slowly at first, and then all of a sudden that line would start to turn up, and it would escalate with the increase. There is an exponential curve, and you can talk to most any stockbroker or person involved with investments that can show you this on a curve, how things grow exponentially. Our part is to be diligent and to be faithful. And we don't know, but things sometimes, they just take off. We might say, because God is, I have. Because God is, I have. We have seen this principle operate in the kingdom of God before, and here it is. Because God is able, I have abilities. Because God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, I have good gifts from God. Now, I looked up able and ability in Strong's Concordance and got a random sampling for this. In Daniel 1, verse 4, for example, we find we have the ability to serve in the king's palace. Daniel did, and Daniel was gifted in all wisdom, possessed knowledge, and was quick to understand. He had wisdom and skill in all learning and decision-making ability. That was, those were gifts given to Daniel. And those abilities, and other abilities, we find that we are able to do things like go forth to war, able to overcome, able to give to those in need, able to work, able to build a house, able to profit, able to live, able to hear, able to bear temptation, able to comprehend, able to withstand evil, able to quench the fiery darts of Satan, able to teach, able to manage our time, etc. That's just some of them. From my sampling, what we learn is that we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God supplies the ability in order that he may be glorified through Jesus Christ. He is establishing his kingdom, and indeed our God reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S. Scripture tells us that we are to be good stewards. We are to be servants of Jesus Christ, our master. Now that word steward is okonomos. It sounds a lot like economics, because okonomos, it means law of the house. Oikos and nomos, law of the house, oikonomos. We would say economics. We can compare the word economy, but as I said, it means house and to arrange. The word for economy comes from oikos, house, and nemo, meaning to arrange. We are to be managers. We are to be administrators or trustees. We have a trust entrusted to us. And so for Christians in general, it means that we are to use the gifts that have been entrusted to us by the Lord for the purpose of strengthening and encouraging fellow believers. If we all did that with each other, with the gifts and the callings that God is giving to each one of us, different gifts, different abilities, different callings, but if we all did this and did our part, then the whole, W-H-O-L-E, would be complete. And that's the way it's supposed to operate. So, we are all called to be useful. Sometimes people say, well, I can't do anything anymore. I'm in this state or I'm in that state. Well, you can pray. You can worship God. Well, I can't see anymore. Well, you can pray. You can worship God. You can sing songs in your head. There's something you can do. And actually, pray moves the world, so prayer is a prayer is very powerful, and if people have hours and hours to pray, they can move mountains and do all kinds of things sitting in their living room or sitting in a chair. You'd be surprised. Prayer changes things. Okay. Listen to 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Use it or lose it. That's the way most refer to the law of use in the kingdom of God. The idea is, may the Holy Spirit grant us the grace and ability to discover, develop, and use the gifts God has given us as good stewards. Let us be faithful in that which is least, that we might be blessed and able to be faithful also in much. And let us seek the Lord for grace to manage our house well and to his pleasing, to please God, to God's pleasing. And let us not fear or run away from responsibility, but remember this from Charles Spurgeon, who said, tend not to the honor, but tend to the responsibility. And may we glorify God through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. And we're going to pray that right now. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would grant us the grace and ability to discover, develop, and use the gifts that you, Lord God, have given us as good stewards. Let us see, Lord, that you are the owner of everything, and we are just stewards of what belongs to you. And you kind of move things around from this person to that, meeting needs and anything else. And you are the one who promotes. You are the one who gives increase. You are the one who supplies the strength, the ideas, the creativity, and all the rest. You are the source and supply of all life and blessing. And Lord, help us to see that we are stewards, we are trustees, Lord. We are managers of your house. We are managers. And help us to know the laws of the house, whether it's the house of the Lord, and we're talking about the church, our own homes, or even our own selves, Lord. For we are the temples of the Lord. So individually, corporately, as the body of Christ, and whatever positions you have us in, we pray for those in government, Lord, that they call themselves public servants. They are put there, and Lord, we pray for them that they would lead well and not do so out of selfish ambition or greed, because you, Lord, own everything. Let us be faithful in that which is least, that we might be blessed, and be faithful also in much. Let us seek the Lord for grace, and Lord, we seek you right now for grace to manage your house well and to your pleasing. And Lord God, let us not fear or run away from responsibility, but remember this, Lord, that we are not to just do this for the honor and so that we might be pompous with and filled up with pride, but let us tend to the responsibility that comes along with that honor. And may we glorify you, Lord God, through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.